Happy Mother's Day. Thanks, guys. Every week we talk about our circles of discipleship because we are passionate about discipleship. You came to church for a reason today, or have been coming to church for a reason. And the reason is to know more about God and to meet people like you and to have friends. And so we want to facilitate that. And one of the ways we do that is in five different ways. Get known, get life, get going, get connected, and get others. And each week we talk about a different circle so that you know what it is and so that you can become involved. This morning I want to talk about get connected. There he goes. Okay. It's about stepping into membership. We are so glad that you've been coming. If this is your first time, or if this is your 20th time or second time or whatever, we want you to get connected. We want you to feel like it's family, that this is a place that you can be fed. This is a place that you can serve. And we want you to connect to us and become a part of us. Some of the ways we do this is to get to know you and understand your past, for you to understand our past. We also do an orientation called Get Connected that we do, which we're actually going to be scheduling one really soon. So be on the lookout for the date. And it would be a time for you to come and meet the elders, know a little bit about us, know what we believe as a church, and we get to know you a little bit too. So I encourage you, keep coming. Stay a spell. Something's wrong with the clicker. There we go. All right. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13, please. We're continuing our series called Acts of the Sent Ones. Acts chapter 13, I'm going to read about 23 verses. Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 13. I guess just everybody look at me when you're ready. Okay, most of you are looking at me. Starting with verse 13, it says, "From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Poseidon, Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, 'Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak.' Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, 'Men of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me.'" Very multicultural area where even in the synagogue there were Gentiles or God-fearers and Jews worshiping together. Verse 17, "The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave them their land as people and as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet." Verse 21, "Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" Verse 23, "From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance." John the baptizer. He preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not that one. No, but he is coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.'" Speaking of Jesus. "Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath." Verse 28, "Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. Verse 32, we tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have become your father. The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. Verse 35. So it is stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. We pray with me. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that as we read it, as we talk about it, as we look at ways that you are speaking to us to apply it to our lives, God, I pray that we would be good listeners, God, that you would open our ears, you would take away distractions. God, we thank you that we have this example of these men and women in the book of Acts and how they were obedient to you. And Lord, how they connected history together, Lord. Lord, as we see Paul talks about the history of the Jews and how it culminated in Jesus Christ, God, I pray that we would see our history and see that it culminates in Jesus Christ as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is, believe it or not, the only actual report of somewhat of a full sermon, or a transcript, if you will, full sermon of Paul, the Apostle Paul. Now, you could certainly argue that his letters to churches, particularly Romans, were very good sermons indeed, but they were written. They were written letters to these churches. This is the only documented, at least lengthy, sermon given by Paul the Apostle. And he does go through, he's speaking to Jews and he's speaking to Gentiles, and it's important that he links both together. And it's important for them to understand where they came from and how Jesus enters into the picture. Quite honestly, the reason we come together, either in life groups, small groups, or together as a body, it's the same for us as well. We have to see where we're linked to Jesus Christ and what he did for us. The gospel, what did he do? So one of the things that he did was really concentrated on two men, King David and John the Baptizer. So I want to read these verses again. Verses 22 through 23, he talks about King David. He says, after removing Saul, Saul was king. All of the people clamored for a king in Israel. And one time, God was their king. God was their Lord, but they wanted to be like every other nation. And so they clamored for a king. God gave them Saul, even though he was an imperfect man, an imperfect king, was not God's choice. After Saul was removed, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. This is the same man who committed adultery, who committed murder. This man, though, had a heart after God. He wanted to please the Lord. Verse 23, from this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Verses 24 through 25, he talks about John the Baptizer. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, who do you think I am? Wasn't like Robert De Niro. It was, who do you think I am? I am not that one. No, but he is coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. What did both men have in common? They both prepared the way for the Lord, and that was their purpose. They served God's purpose by preparing the way for Jesus. This Mother's Day, we think about our mothers. We as a mother, I'm not speaking as a mother, but as a mother, you are thinking about your children. You're thinking about your mother as well. Those of us who aren't mothers and those of us who are, we want to know our purpose in this world. Is that correct? We really want to know, God, why am I here? Why did you make me the way that I am? Why did you make me the age that I am? Why did you place me in the city that I live in, the town that I live in? Why did you give me these children? No, I'm just kidding. Why have the events of my life taken place, and how can you use that? Maybe we don't think about that last statement, and how can you use that? So we ask God, God, what is our purpose? What is our purpose? I remember as a teenager, I was consumed with this. Just consumed. I mean, if I prayed anything, I prayed this every day. God, show me what my purpose is. What is my purpose? I don't want to be a fireman. I don't want to be a police officer. I don't know what I want to be, but I want to know what my purpose is. I'm here to say that we have the same purpose that John the Baptizer had, that King David had, though completely different. There's no way that we can do what King David did. There's no way we can do what John the Baptist did because they served their purpose. But we can be like them in that we are preparing the way for our King. We are preparing the way for the Lord Jesus. As a mother, you are preparing the way for Jesus in your kids' lives. Acts 13:36, the verse that we ended with, it says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers and his body decayed." His legacy certainly lives on because it's recorded in Scripture. His body didn't live on. His body was a vehicle that God used to serve his purpose. And he served God's purpose in his own generation. Will your epitaph be similar? When I'm dead and gone, will they be able to say that about me? Next question, even before our bodies decay, will people say this about us? Will our children say this about us? Will our spiritual children say this about us? The answer, quite honestly, to what is my purpose is for us to serve his purpose in our generation, in our time, in our city, and in our place of work, wherever we are, that we would serve his purpose. I think we get lost sometimes when we're trying to understand our purpose. Are you hearing me? I know this maybe sounds like semantics, but it's not. Our purpose is going to be always different than his purpose. Our purpose comes from our own understanding, and we're told in Proverbs not to lean on that understanding. God, what is your purpose for my life right here, right now? What is your purpose for me coming into this building called Church at Whistling Pines this Sunday? Is it just because I've been coming every Sunday? Maybe. But what is your purpose for me to hear your word today? And then how do I walk that out in my generation? What is your purpose? How do we each prepare the way of the Lord? 2 Timothy 1:8 through 9 on the screen says this. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." This is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel." The gospel is the good news. The gospel is that we have a Savior. The gospel is that no longer do we have to pay the penalty of sin. Jesus paid the penalty of sin. No longer do we have to be separated from God because of sin. Jesus reconciled us. He took that separation away. No longer do we have to be slaves of sin. Jesus freed us from the bondage of sin. It no longer has power over us. He's taken away the power of sin. That is the good news. For the gospel, according to the power of God, verse 9, who has saved us, listen to this, and called us with a holy calling. Here to tell you that word holy does not mean you're perfect. Remember, Miranda's the only one in here that's perfect. It means set apart. It means he plucked you out of your situation, out of your sin, set you apart, and he's got a calling for you. That word calling in the Greek is vocare, where we get the word vocation, where our English word vocation comes from. In other words, he sets you apart. He snatches you up, snatches me up out of our sin, out of our situation, out of whatever it might be, and sets us apart and gives us a purpose, our vocation, the reason that we live, the reason that we wake up in the morning and start our new day. Not according to our works. Hear this. I have to hear this. I'm praying the same prayer for me, that I would have ears to hear. It's not according to our works. Just as salvation isn't according to our works, our purpose is also not according to our works. We cannot be smart enough. We cannot have enough degrees. We cannot have enough experience. He has saved us. He has called us with a holy calling. It's not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. And grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. He saved us for his purpose, not our purpose. Do you agree with that? 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Paul says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23, he says, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." It's not just from others. Would we classify as men as well? Men and women. It's human. Okay, so yes, we too can be our own slaves. We can be so worried about other people's expectations. We were bought at a price. When you became saved, when Jesus plucked you up, when he called you according to your purpose, you're his. He purchased you. He redeemed you. The same way that if I hawk something at the pawn shop and I have a ticket to redeem it, that's what Jesus did. Because of our sin, we were hawked off. And he has redeemed us by the precious blood of his son, Jesus. And so we're redeemed. We're bought back. And it was at a costly price. Do you realize, do I realize that we're not our own? We're God's. So why do we continue thinking we're our own? That we can make our decisions. It's his purpose, not ours. The biggest block from hearing God's specific plan for your life, for my life, is when we are living for us instead of living for him. It's hard to hear that specific calling, that specific place that God has placed us in, when we're so busy accomplishing what we think we should be accomplishing. And maybe it's even in the name of Jesus. Even it might even be something that we feel like, wow, well, God's got to like this. I mean, I'm helping the poor. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But it was our inclination. It was our purpose. It was out of our works. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 has this beautiful account where Paul the Apostle is speaking to the Thessalonians, and he is trying to explain that he and the other apostles, he and his companions in ministry, how they serve them, how they've meant to serve them. This is what he says, starting in verse 7. "We were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children." We're going to go down and he's going to talk about how they were like a father to them as well. We're going to get to that. But when he says as a father, he really explains what he means by a father. He didn't explain what he means by caring for them like a mother does her children. Why? Because we all know what mothers do. A mother sacrifices, a mother cares for, a mother nurtures, a mother protects. A father does some of these things as well, no doubt. But a mother. It was in them. It's in you to do these things. And Paul the Apostle said he was doing this, he and his companions, for them, for this church, for this people that God has gathered together. He likens what he's doing in the spiritual realm to what a mother does in the physical realm. Verse 8, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. If a mother does anything, a mother shares her life. Not just her food, thank God for that. Not just her cooking, not just her hugs and her kisses and all those kind of things. She shares her life. And Paul the Apostle felt like he and his companions were called to do that for a group of people that needed Jesus. To do the same thing. To not only share the glorious good news that Jesus saves, but also their lives as well. We're called to no less. We may not have the title of apostle like Paul and his companions did, but we're called to no less. Because you had become so dear to us. Verse 11. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. We not only have a responsibility for those that we naturally mother and father, or those that we've adopted and we have taken on that role, that mantle in their lives, but we're also called to do this in the spiritual realm, that we're to be spiritual mothers and fathers, to be spiritual brothers and sisters to one another, that we are a family and we're called to love one another, we're called to pray for one another, we're called to serve one another. That's what Jesus has called us to. He calls us his brothers and sisters. We're a family and God the Father is our Father. Jesus made a way for us to be in family. And we need these relationships. Right now, I want to call Brenda Williams to the stage. I want her to share something about spiritual mothering. Brenda Williams is one of our elders, and she's also, we joke around, one of the pastor's wives. She is Robert Williams' wife, who is the assisting pastor here. You have a microphone? You can use this one.
First of all, I wanted to share with you that on the front of our bulletin, we have a scripture, and it says, God gives lonely people a family. He sets prisoners free, and they go out singing. And that's Psalm 68:6. And that's how we feel at our church, that God is going to bring lonely people and people that need a family into our church for us to love them and nurture them. Amen. And encourage them in their walk with the Lord. I want to share one or two scriptures shortly. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15, it says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget you, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. So even if your own parents, your mother, forsakes you and doesn't nurture you and care for you, God has inscribed you on the palm of his hands. Amen. He won't forget you. For the mothers who have been a nursing mother, you understand that scripture very well, that you don't forget your nursing child. You have signals that make you think of that child, and just to know that's how God is, that he won't forget you. And also Jesus said in John, in the book of John, that he won't leave us as orphans. That's right. I believe that God will fill every void in your life except that one little place that belongs to Him and Him alone. And so God will send spiritual mothers into your life to nurture you and care for you and instruct you. And I wanted to share today about someone who has been a wonderful example to me as a, of a spiritual mother, and someone who has taken me under her wing and taught me and instructed me and encouraged me and prayed for me. My own mother died when I was 28 years old. And God has been so faithful to bring these spiritual mothers into my life. But this particular woman I met about 20 years ago, and she spent countless hours on the phone with me telling me stories. And I would say to myself, why is she telling me this? But in every story, I knew that it was God talking to me through this lady. And it's not only me that she has done this with, but she has given her whole life to nurture people, to love people, to encourage them, to pray for them, and not just in this church, but in many other churches. For a number of years, when we were Gospel Tabernacle and Engaging Life, she was like the mother of the church. And God also does that. He places mothers in churches to mother the flock. And so today I just want to not cry, but honor that lady, because she's here for the last year or 9 months. She's been nurturing other children at the Encounter School. And Miss Ina, they told me not to let you have the microphone.
That's right.
So we have a small gift for you from all of those individuals that you have invested your life in. We love you. I have one more short scripture. If I can find it. It's in the book of Titus, and it's chapter 2. And you can be a spiritual mother to someone. God, that may be your purpose in life, is to nurture someone and encourage them. There's someone else also that has thousands, maybe not thousands, that's exaggerating, but hundreds of children probably, and that's Rebecca Randall. She sure. also mothers
sure.
and is a spiritual mother. So here is the scripture in Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So you can be that spiritual mother to someone. There's always someone that's going to be older than you and someone that's going to be younger than you. So ask God to show you that person that He would have you come alongside and encourage and nurture in the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Brenda mothers me. Sometimes I like it, sometimes she does it regardless. That's true. You don't always like what your mother says. It's true. My wife
Miranda really struggled early on in our marriage at being a pastor's wife because she felt an expectation on her to be a certain way, to maybe be one of those pastor's wives that has big hair. No, I'm kidding, not big hair, but comes up on stage and does a lot of talking and stuff, and that's just not her. That's not her gifting. And she really struggled with that and struggled with what is her purpose. She knew her purpose was to be my wife, but as far as in ministry, she didn't really know what her purpose was. And then God started revealing to her personally, as well as other people started bringing words of encouragement to her and even prophetic words to her that really confirmed what God was saying to her. And that was, she was called, she was set apart, her purpose was to be a mother. And that's awesome. That we tend to think of ministry as you hit the big time when you have your own TV station, or you hit the big time when this or that, when she mothers amazingly. We have two children who love the Lord, and some of that I guess maybe I can take a little bit of credit for, but most of it is Miranda, and that was her purpose. And when you come to terms with your purpose, and you come to terms that you were called to be a mom, you were called to be a dad, it can be very rewarding, and you can walk in that purpose. We can honor God best by being good stewards of the relationships that we have. And we have to realize that God is the most concerned about people. Your children, someone else's children. They're all His children, and He's most concerned about people. I've joked around before, and I even repent before you now. It was supposed to be just a joke, but really, it's not funny. And I would say ministry would be a lot of fun if it weren't for the people. But in reality, ministry is people. And Jesus had a heart for people. When He wept over Jerusalem, it wasn't over the buildings. It wasn't over the ground. It wasn't over the crops. It was over the people. And so God has called us to people. And the relationships that you have in your life, if you're looking for your purpose, you usher in Jesus to those relationships. That is your purpose. Look no further. Will you stand with me? Jesus prayed something to the Father in John 17 that I wonder if we'll be able to pray. No, I speak forward right now that you will be able to pray this, that I will be able to pray this. This is what He prayed. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. We finish the work that He gave us to do when we realize the people around us, we usher Jesus to them. That's your purpose. I'm going to pray. Father God, I thank You for this day, Lord. I thank You that we have an opportunity to honor mothers. But Lord, we also honor fathers and brothers and sisters. We honor relationships right now, Lord. And God, we thank You that You came out of relationship. Your Son was sent to this earth in order to live among us, to have His dwelling with us. The Word became flesh. God, You love our flesh. You love our souls. You love our spirit, Lord, and You died for us. Your blood shed on the cross redeemed us, paid the price for us. We are no longer our own. We are Yours. It's a costly price. God, we want to walk in our purpose. I pray that You would reveal to us the people who look to us for nurturing. And God, we would walk in that purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Go forth. Do your purpose. Yes.